Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks. Justin here from Nintendo Dads. We had an opportunity to sit down with Eric from the Matt Black Studio. He's got a game, Lucid, coming out. I had an opportunity to play it when I was over at the Mix. And I had a great time chatting with him when I was over there. And I was like, oh, man, this game has got to come to the Nintendo Switch. And by the way, you got to come on our show and have a chat with us, which is exactly what happened. He jumped on the show for me and Jesse. It's about a 40-minute interview. Great opportunity to have a conversation with him. I will say this at the top. Viewer discretion is advised. We typically, you know, sometimes we beep out curse words in this conversation. We did not. So if you are hanging out with the little kids in the car ride as you're maybe heading to the daycare or soccer or whatever sport it is you're playing right now, maybe hockey, and you don't want to hear potential curse words in an interview, listen to the interview when they're not in the vehicle. But yeah, it's viewer discretion advised. It's nothing horrific. But you know, hey, I want to be sensitive because I'm the one that typically curses and Jesse has to do the beep scene. It wasn't me this time. But hey, the conversation with Matt is actually not Matt. The conversation with Eric is super, super cool. Fantastic guy. Kickstarter comes out on the 18th. I would highly I'm going to back it. I think you might enjoy it as well, but hopefully you enjoy. Here's the conversation with Eric from the Matt Black Studio about his game, Lucid, coming to Kickstarter on September 18th. Hey, folks, what's going on? Justin Masson here and Jesse Waldeck, and we have got a special interview today, an opportunity to sit down with Eric from the Matt Black Studio, and he's got a game coming up to Kickstarter right away. Now, I've actually been fortunate enough to play it because I was at the Mix about 2 weeks ago. It is Lucid, and we're going to spend the next about 30 minutes chatting with Eric about all things Lucid, development, Kickstarter, anywhere we want to go in the video game realm. So we're excited. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be talking to you. It was really fun meeting you at the Mix.
Yeah, thank you. So let's maybe use that as a bit of our sounding board. Like 2 weeks ago, you and I were at the Mix down in and for those who don't know what the Mix is, it's kind of a, actually, Eric, maybe I'll have you describe what the Mix is because it's really aimed for folks like you.
Sure. The Mix was a lot of fun, and I didn't realize until about 2 a.m. eating pizza in a dive bar in Seattle that I was like, oh my God, that was a really fun party for press and we were the entertainment. And I was like, nice, but it was super, super fun. I got to meet so many cool people.
Yeah, that's such a great way to describe it actually, because the Mix occurred about 2 kilometers, give or take, away from the main PAX hall. Uh-huh. It was about a 20 minute walk for me actually to get there, but it was this sort of down a side street kind of building. Yeah. And the press showed up at 6 o'clock. You guys were already there, and it's 2 floors of indie developers, mm-hmm, who are in various states of development, really getting to hang out with the press and having, yeah, I would say like a really more intimate discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. It used to be the way that I saw, but tell me kind of like what your experience was like in that space.
Oh man. Like I had no idea what the Mix, like when it was proposed to me, I was like, what is that? And I had no idea what to expect. And it was basically, it was just like a party, but like everybody wanted to just play games. Like it reminded me almost like a Smash Brothers tournament where like there's just a bunch of like setups and you go around and you just kind of like pick up controllers and just talk to the devs and vice versa with the press. But yeah, I had a blast. Like it was really cool.
Yeah, it was my first time ever having been in the Mix. And so I was at PAX earlier that day and the Mix afterwards. The Mix was by far of those two things was my favorite.
Yeah.
Right. And to your point, like it was just sort of like you're just hanging out, beer and tacos,
yeah,
having a chill conversation, super casual.
Mm-hmm.
I use the word like intimate, right? Because yeah, it just felt like you'd have genuine conversations on the PAX floor. And I know you mentioned you went to PAX later in the weekend, right? I couldn't hear anything.
Dude.
Right? It's so loud in there.
Yeah, they had to split it into 2 buildings this year, and I forget what one of them was, but Summit, there was X and then there was Summit, and I liked, yeah, the Summit one significantly more than the other one. The other one was claustrophobic. I was having trouble breathing, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the one where all the video games were, like the top floor?
It was the one where like the big Pikachu.
Yep.
Was.
Yeah. I know where you are. Yeah. It was hot as sin up there too. It's what I found. So, yeah. So we bumped into each other at the mix, and it was interesting because you were kind of at the end of the top floor, as memory serves. You're near the center of it. And, you know, you never talk about like judge a book by its cover, but as press, we're walking around looking at games. We're like, okay, cool. Your game caught my attention very quickly. Beautiful art palette that was used. I love the art style. And you just kind of like sucked me in. And I watched some people play it. And the game's called Lucid.
Yeah.
And so maybe can you tell us a little bit about Lucid, about sort of, let's start with that. For those who don't know Lucid, what is it?
Oh, that's right. We're here. Lucid. Right.
we can talk about beer and pizza. I'm okay with that, too.
I was so ready to go down that tangent for like 45 minutes because I love beer and pizza.
My favorite things.
Yeah. Lucid. So Lucid is a love letter to my childhood. It is like a nostalgia meets modern sensibilities. But it's if I'm going to like boil it down, it's like a side scrolling HD pixel art, what I've been calling, and I'm not sure if people can see me, but I'm doing the SpongeBob rainbow hands, Celestoidvania. Buzzwords, bing. Which is a fancy way of saying it is a Metroidvania that borrows from Celeste's a mobility option. I'm not sure if you guys touched Celeste, played it.
Yeah, I loved Celeste. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, sort of a revolutionary approach to the 2D platformer.
Big
right?
Time.
It came out and at such a great time. And I love it. I thought it was great.
I was immediately like enamored, and I didn't put it down, and I had to keep playing. But there was this specific mechanic where if you dash into like this little green gem or a node, it would refresh your jumps, and you could keep going. So if you kept jumping into these nodes, you could like stay airborne. I took that idea and just ran with it. So I injected some combat and storytelling, or not to say that there's no storytelling in Celeste, but a little more action adventure-y, saving the world kind of Dark Souls-y world meets Legend of Zelda. But if I had to distill the soup that is Lucid, it is equal parts Super Metroid, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Mega Man X, Celeste, and then like Hades/Doom 2016.
That's quite the mix.
And Doom 2016.
Yeah. And just demons in hell.
Yes. if that was a cocktail drink somewhere at a bar, we are not walking home straight. We are done, right? Well, and that's so interesting because I'm looking at so let's take one other step back. Kickstarter, right? We're going live on Kickstarter on Monday. September 18th.
18th. Is that right? 18th. I remember this date well because it's my birthday.
Happy early birthday to you, right?
Thank you.
And listen, fans, if you're listening to this, listen, Eric's, I've only known him for a short amount of time. Seems like an amazing guy. And aww, you should give an amazing birthday, which is go over to Kickstarter and help fund Lucid, right? That's what I would.
Yes. Oh, what is perfect timing.
I'll keep it running. I'll just lower the volume a little bit.
Okay. It's kind of epic.
I had the Steam page up, and then this happened to start playing.
Okay, fair enough. I was like, "What just?" And also, I was like, "Am I the only one hearing that? Am I going crazy?"
I thought for a second, like, because I'm actually working on a trailer and that music's in it, and I was like, "Oh no!" but yeah, this is this music that we're listening to is kind of like the the Lucid theme track, the motif, and it was written by my lovely, beautiful fiance. She's the one that put it all together.
Nice. So, that's fantastic. Let's talk about that build. So one man studio minus your fiance who's doing the music. So right, how long have you been working on this for?
I've been working on Lucid. It's kind of the long answer is, hold on, there it is, perfect.
Nice.
Hear it again.
Jesse, now it's just sounds like water music. We're peeing. Bring it down a notch, buddy.
I paused the video now, okay, so that won't happen again. But still, that was like a lovely mistake. That was
it was very good. It was a happy accident.
I love those. Those are my favorite kinds of accidents.
Yeah.
Where were we?
I was asking how long you've been working on it, because it is a one man studio. It's just you, right? And obviously your fiance doing the music.
Yes. So, the long answer is, I picked up game making like in 2013 as a side gig, because I used to be an architect and it was kind of like a bedroom hobby. That's what she's. That's a bedroom hobby.
Nice.
And it slowly overtook my entire life, so I had to put it down around 2018. And it was a very different game. I then pick it back up in 2020 due to my fiance saying I should do something that makes me happy, because said architecture was inducing crippling depression. So I started.
And 2020 happened.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, it was speaking of cocktails, it was a mess. So I picked it back up, rebuilt it, and I had played Celeste at this point. I've played, I believe I had played Hades at this time. I think I did, as well as Doom 2016. And those started to inform my kind of game design and my concepts of what I want to make. And now we're here. So I've been a solo dev this whole time. And then very recently, I've been given the opportunity to start to like get outside contractors, just like, hey, man, can you make a little sound effect here? Hey, man, can you make some promo art there? And slowly but surely, a little collaborative team is starting to form. I still consider myself a solo dev. I wear so many hats, but I would very much Kickstarter to do well enough that I can bring on more people, more on a permanent full-time sort of situation. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, and sorry for clarity, so are you kind of like still side hustling this, or is this like, no, I like, this is my full-time gig. I kind of dropped everything.
Full-time gig. I got the go-ahead from the missus. She's the sure. one that gave me the nudge. She's like, do it. This is like your only, just do it. And I was like, really? I'm like, she's like, just go for it. I'm like, yes. So wow. She's really like the catalyst and the bedrock of this. Lucid is built on her name's Una, on Una's back. She is doing a lot of work.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely true. So let's maybe talk, let's talk Kickstarter.
Hell yeah. I love Siri. Kickstarter.
Everything is going off in my house right now. Alexa over there, Siri's going off. Let's talk Kickstarter. Mm. We're on your birthday, September 18th, going live.
Yeah.
What does that look like to prepare for Kickstarter? Like, how are you feeling right now? Where's your energy, your nerves? And I guess I'm going to say, like, why Kickstarter? Why'd you choose there? Like, so maybe help me understand the business part of some of these decisions as an indie developer, kind of reaching in the space. What are the decisions that you're making? How are you approaching these things?
Great question. Kickstarter is, so I have a vision that is Lucid, and I have a very, I have a publisher who is supporting and helping out, but they, as much as you'd like to believe, it's not like an endless supply of money. There's only so much. And it's gotten me to this point, but the vision of Lucid that I see needs more help and the community. That is why we're going Kickstarter. I'm fortunate enough to have developed a very close-knit, supportive, like a Discord community, Instagram, Twitter, and everyone's been very, very supportive and pumping me with confidence because I need it. I am a bundle of nerves constantly. Sure. There is a heavy pressure like right around here. And it's usually hard to breathe, and I don't think that's normal.
Ooh.
And but
Yeah.
we're getting through it.
This is what crunch
just,
feels like.
Dude, I've never worked harder or longer, but like it's finally not at like the behest of some big wig at the top of some firm. I'm doing it for like me and my family and yeah. my friends at this point. So it's feeling, I feel like there's like more purpose and like it gives me gumption.
Yeah. So you've already got a publisher for it, right? So how does like, does the publisher say like, hey, we're kind of only able to put you out there once you're done. And that's the Kickstarter helping you to fund to get that completion.
Pretty much. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Sure. That's okay. That's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But,
we've signed NDAs before. We're okay. That's okay.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. but they've gotten me to this far and, Lucid wouldn't have been able to have gotten this far without them. So,
yeah.
Super cool.
Okay. What's, so, let's talk about platforms. Where are we going with this? Everywhere possible, right?
That's the everywhere idea. Possible. That is the plan. That is the plan right now. And okay. the more successful the Kickstarter is, the quicker that can happen for sure. Yeah, but I know it's coming. It'll be on PC and Steam first, and getting to a Nintendo platform would be a literal childhood dream come true.
Yes.
So yeah, that. Personally, that would be my next like absolute like goal. I would love to get to a Switch. But discussing post Kickstarter will be all the pieces fall together wherever they go. It'll help determine the map and the timeline and all that stuff. But all consoles.
Right. When you know, and I think it's interesting watching folks choose Kickstarter as kind of that platform for funding, because I think we've seen various levels of success. Right. I think you've seen stuff like you Shovel Knight and Yacht Club Glay Games, who had such a massive success there. Uh-huh. Right. And were like fulfilling Kickstarter stretch goals for
Forever.
9 years where they like never feel like they're ever getting
or
done with it.
Mongoose, the guys who did Crowsworn.
Yep.
Huge, huge success. Yep.
Yeah. Recently, Sabotage Studios, right?
From
up in Quebec, right? Or Montreal with Sea of Stars, right? Mm-hmm. Having had success with The Messenger prior to that, where they had just done a release on it, right? And then we think there are other games that shall not be named, but I've backed games that have been like, I backed this game 5 years ago, and I do not know if it will ever come out, right?
Yeah.
But sure, look at the money. The money is in the ether now, so to say.
Or the game comes out and it's just complete dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like a certain number 9.
I was
ID number 9. There you go.
I was going to say like a triumphant Roman numeral or something.
Yeah. Exactly, right? When you go to Kickstarter with this, like maybe you can say how close is the game Lucid actually to being like done, polished?
Oh.
Because I think that's we've seen other folks who are like, "Hey, I just need the help for the next 10%." Uh-huh.
Right, to get us through it.
And by the way, it's out in like 4 months from now, right? Where is that sort of cycle?
The plan is after Kickstarter, there is going to be an alpha demo build available to a very low backer tier. And it'll be released shortly after the Kickstarter campaign is over. And this thing is what apparently one of the meatiest demos around, and I overprepared.
Oh, okay.
was what I've been told. The one that you saw at the mix is basically that, and no one came close to finishing the demo. Like not even
nice.
Close. I felt as soon as I saw like the most proficient players play and only get like 20% through, I was like, uh-oh. or maybe yay. I didn't know what to think, but that's to say that I would say there is about maybe like 15 to 20% like a very solid foundational base of a game. I wanted, from an architectural background, I wanted to make sure that it was so very tight and had a super tight core, very like polished and something that you could just build on top of very easily. And I'm very confident we're there. And it's really going to become just like ideas and translate it, and with the team and the muscle behind it, it could, if it's not just one person working on it, it could really get some gas going. I'm really excited for that.
That's fantastic. That demo was wonderful. I absolutely love playing it. And I think I said to you like very early on, I was like, this feels like a game that's supposed to be on the Switch. Yes. And I think, or on a Nintendo, because you can feel the inspirations, right? You talked about before Super Metroid. You talked about Castlevania, Mega Man X, Celeste, right? Those are all, it feels so at home and right for it. I will also tell you, is your statement of like, you know, watching people complete a game. Nothing is worse than literally having the designer and builder of a video game watch you play it and realize that you right now are sucking at playing video games. And then you're like, there's a complex that you have all of a sudden. You're like, is it me? Is it the game? Like, I don't want to blame him. It's probably me. I've been playing games for 40 years. What is wrong with me? And then you start doing like, how many beers did I have? Was it two? Was it three? I don't remember. Yep. Right. And it's super like, it's super argy.
I feel you, man. I feel equally bad. Not bad. Or there's that awkwardness because, like, I want to watch and I want to be, like, into it. But also I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm like, there was a few times. It might have been after, before, during, but other people had played. And I was like, I'm going to let you do your thing and I'm going to be over here. And if you want anything, let me know. And that kind of worked out. People got really comfy and they just got zoned in. Right. And I have to go over and be like, are you having fun? Like, yeah. I'm like, and there's a line. I'm like, are you almost done having fun?
Right. It was the kind of game. It wasn't pixel perfect, but it was enough that your palms are getting sweaty, right? You're getting you're working. And so it felt great when you're watching, you know, in a situation like the mix and you're watching folks, there's a feedback loop, right? Like you're getting like, how is that as a creative to be getting the so feedback cool. loop, both positively, right? Yes. Hey, I'm stuck here. I'm zoned in. I'm like, I don't care about the line. I'm in that moment. And other people are like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. Where do you balance that from a feedback and as a creative person?
It's such a good feeling. I know myself, and if I'm brought criticism, my immediate one is like, fuck you. That's my immediate reaction. It's like, you don't get it. Why don't you get it? But then I have to like take a split second and be like, calm down. It's good that they have feedback. And it was so good. The feedback was so good. I immediately went home and tweaked like 10 things. And that, by the end of the night, it just felt so much better. I handed it to a buddy who's like my unofficial or official like play tester, and I was like, check out the dash, and he does it and he just went, oh, and he's like, that's right. I'm like, right? And it was only because one a guy was just like, something about this. I'm like, I just looked at it a little bit longer,
yeah,
and it sunk in. So I'm really excited to get constructive and good feedback. I'm not excited for the jump should do this, and it's like, okay. How about maybe the jump could act like this? It's just a better way to frame it, but maybe I'm just too sensitive.
Have you had a playtester or someone at the mix who demoed it just solve something in a weird way that you didn't expect?
Yes. I thought you were going to go the opposite route of there, and I was like, don't make me put a guy on blast. But yes, absolutely. There was, cause you like design a puzzle and like the solution's this, and then somebody does the complete opposite, but then solves it. And I was just like, it makes me happy that that's an option, because it means, there's free, room for player expression. And there's not just one way to play the game. And it's something I absolutely tried to do and set out to make. And, seeing it happen in real time is freaking awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You talk a little bit about this kind of like this, like the feedback loop, right, that you're getting and the tweaks that you're making. One of the things that we sometimes hear from artists and from creatives is like, the work is never done.
Yeah.
Right. So like, how do you, maybe you don't know that yet where that is for you, but like, how do you find your spot? You're like, it is what it is. Like I have to, obviously minus like there's game breaking bugs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, I have to say, this is done. It is exactly what it needs to be, because you could always, you know, repaint, retool, retwist, like something different. How do you do that as an artist? How do you do that as a creative?
I think it is sort of case by case in the sense that let's say it's an animation and I will spend hours trying to get the right pixel. I'm like, that doesn't look right. And I'll spend too long making every pixel just look right and smooth and 60 frames a second. And I don't know if it's optimal, but I think that design eye tenant is kind of what makes Lucid Lucid. And I think it translates because I've gotten it a few times. And this is probably a what is it called? A soft brag? It's probably bragging. And I forget what the word is. But, a lot of people say you look at Lucid and I know you did it and it's pixel art, but it's very specific pixel art. And it's the only thing I can think of that makes that like tangible is that very attentive, every pixel's move with love. And so I don't know when to put that down, but when it comes to like level design, that one's easier. That one is I used to be a guitar player, so I would love to play like riffs and just kind of like over and over and over and over and just get it down until it like feels right. In the same way, I would design a level and I'll just play it over and over and over and over until it just feels right, like shifting things, just like half a block here, a unit there, and until it like has this like internal rhythm and it just feels good, that's when I know, okay, this is at least passable. So yeah, repetition, I guess, and tunnel vision.
That's very cool. I like that. I would sort of be remiss if I didn't like make some correlation between your previous role as an architecture and building a game. Right? Talk to me a little bit about those things, about maybe those transferable skills maybe that you've seen or
Totally.
that competency. I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Sure. It pains me to not completely regret my architecture career, because I've been asked, like, do you regret doing architecture? Because I hated it so much. It was oil and water. I worked in high-end New York residential, and there's a special ilk of people that reside there.
Reside in that area?
So,
that are probably not playing video games at 8 o'clock at night and drinking beer and pizza at 2 a.m. for partying.
Exactly. They were
And
too
those are people
busy.
you don't want to hang out with, Eric,
Exactly.
trust me.
Instead of that, they were just farting into glasses and inhaling deeply.
That's wonderful. Well, like wonderfully gross, but a wonderful visual.
Yes. So, to your question, architecture design was something I did love, like school and the practice, the process of architectural design was I really, really admire, respect, and enjoyed. So I guess a lot of things transferred. One being trying to nav, you have to like influence, or the idea was you have to influence people to navigate and circulate through space in an intended way. And then that's usually done in floor plans and then sections, which is looking down and looking sideways at something. And then you realize the sides stay constant moving section. And I've been training for many years to like using like compression spaces and then release and then using colors and certain shapes, draw the eye and information hierarchy and how not to have like too much going on and color and repetition and pattern recognition and all this stuff. Just kind of like it got imprinted on my brain, and just you can't not see it. So much so that my like friends had to like tell me, we'd go to a bar and be like, "Oh, the beams are doing this." Like, shut up, Eric. We don't care about the rafters and the fucking ceiling. Shut up about the rafters and the ceiling. They're like, all right. So it's t really hard to turn off, but you just it.
It's like seeing the code in the Matrix, right? Like once you see, you can't unsee it, right?
And when things aren't on center, I just can't not look at it. And I'll be at dinner, and Una will just be like, "What is it?" I'm like, "That grill just should be like right there." And she's like, "All right, how's the mashed potatoes?" I'm like, "They're really good, but it really should be right there." But so, little things like that definitely translated really well. Design stuff like that.
So does that help with like level design then in the game?
Absolutely, for sure. It really, like, I can get, or I think I can get a feeling across the screen. Like, if I want you to feel like claustrophobic and tight and nervous, that's a different space than open, airy, long, deep vistas. Yeah, I really think that helped, especially when I'm doing pixel art interiors. I was doing an interior of a home, and then I realized I was like doing my architecture again, and I was both furious and thankful.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I wonder, like, and there's got to be something like in the just the DNA of just wanting to create, right? Architecture is about building something. Game is about creating something, right?
Totally.
And the movement, like to your point of the movement of people, and I think both of those are in some way a storytelling aspect.
Yeah.
Right.
I love stories, dude. Are you guys like movie buffs, dude?
I wouldn't say buffs, but we definitely watch a lot of movies.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I love it.
Yeah. Part of that. What's your favorite movie? That's such a loaded question, right?
Right. What's your favorite song?
Right. give me like a top three.
Okay. I know a Ghibli one's got to be in there. Probably Princess Mononoke. One of the maybe the Fellowship of the Rings, and then I really like Blade Runner. But then there's also Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I guess it's like
so fantastic. Like,
the genres are there's too many, and maybe
it's
if it was
subjective.
Like I know if it was like in a genre, it would be easier. But yeah, I can't. It's all over the place.
Well, if you like that tough top three question, top three favorite games.
Any
platform, any genre, doesn't matter, right? You know, I don't want to be like, it's got to be Nintendo because it's the Nintendo dads. No. Yeah. Whatever makes you happy.
Okay. I think Hades has to be in there. Hades was so
nice.
Goddamn good. That thing is just a masterpiece. Supergiant. Oh my fuck. Good job, team. Hades, probably Super Metroid. I love Super Metroid. Yep. That was the first game where I like that vibe, alone vibe. I didn't get that same feeling again until I played Dark Souls years later. But that was the first time it was very distinct.
It was a lot of environmental storytelling with that.
Yeah, big time.
Right?
Big time.
And just music, environment told, created a sense of isolation very easily.
Yes. And right? the music was sparse, and it did such a good job of like feeling, talking about like tight, claustrophobic and open spaces. The music was so like open. It made you feel like it was, you were like lost. Like it was just like the map. You could go anywhere. It was like, it was so perfect. So Super Metroid, Hades, another one. Is it Mega Man X? It might be Mega Man X. I love Mega Man.
Nice.
Yeah. I could just, it's like comfort food. I could play it. I could beat it in, well, I don't know anymore how, but I used to be able to like beat it in one sitting. I could almost do it two in a night because it was just so like streamlined and like tight and fun, and you could change your routes. Yeah, I love Mega Man X.
You know, in sort of using, maybe let's use that as a bit of a question and sort of leaning into your architecture answer a couple moments ago. Okay. Now that you've been developing games, right, and building games, do you look at when you play games differently also too?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I know. It's like if you want to enjoy something, what is it? Like don't learn how the sausage is made. Yeah. I stuck my head up the cow's ass too many times, and now I know how all the sausages are made. And every time people watch movies with me, or play games with me, or listen to music with me, they're like, "We don't want to hear what your opinion is. We don't care. Yeah. We just like what we're watching." I'm like, "Okay,
sure,
all right, fine. Don't ask me. Don't. I won't tell you how bad this storytelling is."
Yeah, I've never made a game, but I am a dev by career, and I do catch myself saying, okay, I think I know how they did that when I see something done in the game.
Yeah. Exactly. Like even,
or how much memory is needed to do that? Oh my God.
Right. Right. How is this not dropping frames? Like what sorcery is this? Really cool.
That's awesome. A couple other questions before we let you go here, cause I do know it's a little bit there. You talked about Hades, you talked about Supergiant, right?
Yeah.
Let's say, right, you know, magically you get an email from an inbox and it says it's any developer out there and they're like, we would love to do a collaboration with you, Eric. What company are you hoping you'd love to have that email from?
I'd be lying if it was anything but FromSoft. I would cut off a part of my body that I really wish I didn't have to cut off to work with them.
Sure.
Oh my
God. And they would probably add that into the game.
It would. Yeah. They'd like give me a katana and be like, choice is yours.
Okay. FromSoft. Yeah. All right. I love it. Mm-hmm. And my next question is, Nintendo has sent you an email.
Yeah.
Title line is, you decide the IP. And so you get to play with whatever Nintendo IP there is, and you get to develop the next game for the franchise. What game are you developing, or what IP are you using, and what is the game going to be?
Star Fox.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me. And what are you doing with Star Fox?
It's a really good question. I know what it won't be. I know it won't be Star Fox Zero.
fair play. Fair play. Yeah.
Or Guard.
I think it would probably maybe somehow incorporate like the bounty aspect of it more, because there are like mercenaries. They kind of don't act like mercenaries too often in the Star Fox. They're very like, they might as well be a part of the army or Corneria right. army. I think I would try to do some sort of I don't know, open space galaxy, something where like you pick up your own odd jobs, you upgrade your ships, you maybe upgrade your Great Fox, maybe you pick up different between, there's like obviously the Falco, Peppy, Slippy, Fox, Rob, Cat, maybe those the pig guy, maybe the chameleon dude, maybe you can get other pilots, maybe they actually fly differently. I don't know, I would have to think about it a little more, but I would like to get back to something. There was magic in 64 and they lost the magic in 64 somewhere along the line. I would like to get that back. Yeah,
nice. That's a very cool answer. Not a lot of people go with Star Fox, so that's a bold choice, but I like it. I like it a lot, actually. I'd like to see them do something with that franchise, because they haven't done anything well for a while.
No.
Yeah. Eric, before we let you go here, pitch where we can find you, everything that maybe we didn't ask about Lucid that you should tell us about Lucid to make sure that we've got it all covered, all the basis. What should we, how do we prepare our folks? What is our call to action?
The call to action.
Yeah.
Is if you love video games and you love artists who love video games, you're probably going to love Lucid. And I implore you to go to www.lucidkickstarter.com. And if it speaks to you, if it seems like something you vibe with, please consider backing it. It would make me the happiest birthday boy. And it would make my family so happy because they get to eat like more food. That's awesome. People love eating food. So please, please consider doing that. That would mean the world to me. Outside of that, if you want to join a really supportive, close-knit group of creatives who love video games, music, movies, literally all the art forms, there's a Lucid Discord, and everyone's very, very friendly and supportive. They help each other out on their games. They enter game jams together without me. How dare they? So yeah, it's, you ever have friends that like hang out when you like you've introduced friends and then they hang out with it and you're like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah, you're like, that's not cool.
Yeah, what? Come on, man. Please come by. And then there's an Instagram where I post, and usually there's lore and story, and Twitter, I'm there, and I'm just kind of just sending my opinions and reposting, and so that's all.
Nice. That is fantastic. I will say, as a person who has played Lucid and the audience is listening, you should definitely back this game. You're going to love it. I enjoyed it. And I said that immediately, Eric. I was like, we need to back this. This is fantastic. I can't wait for it to come out. It was probably my most enjoyed game that I played at the mix, if I'm being quite honest. So, yeah, I can't wait to get my hands back on it once available.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much for the kind words. Thank you both for having me. This was super fun.
You're welcome. Awesome. Well, Eric, thanks very much. And again, folks, September 18th, it's on Kickstarter. Go back. It's also Eric's birthday. So if you need another, you don't need another reason. Those are all good things to do. again, Eric, thanks for stopping by Nintendo Dads. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.